relationship of men. Man draws nearer to God in proportion as he withdraws farther from all earthly comfort, and he ascends higher to God as he descends lower into himself and grows more vile in his own eyes. He who attributes any good to himself hinders God's grace from coming into his heart, for the grace of the Holy Spirit seeks always the humble heart. If you knew how to annihilate yourself completely and empty yourself of all created love, then I should overflow in you with great grace. When you look to creatures, the sight of the Creator is taken from you. Learn, therefore, to conquer yourself in all things for the sake of your Maker. Then will you be able to attain to divine knowledge. But anything, no matter how small, that is loved and regarded inordinately, keeps you back from the highest good and corrupts the soul. The 43rd chapter. Beware vain and worldly knowledge. The voice of Christ. My child, do not let the fine-sounding and subtle words of men deceive you, for the kingdom of heaven consists not in talk, but in virtue. Attend rather to my words, which enkindle the heart and enlighten the mind, which excite contrition and abound in manifold consolations. Never read them for the purpose of appearing more learned or more wise. Apply yourself to mortifying your vices, for this will benefit you more than your understanding of many difficult questions. Though you shall have read and learned many things, it will always be necessary for you to return to this one principle. I am he who teaches man knowledge, and to the little ones I give a clearer understanding than can be taught by man. He to whom I speak will soon be wise, and his soul will profit. But woe to those who inquire of men about many curious things, and care very little about the way they serve me. The time will come when Christ, the teacher of teachers, the Lord of angels, will appear to hear the lessons of all, that is, to examine the conscience of everyone. Then he will search Jerusalem with lamps, and the hidden things of darkness will be brought to light, and the arguing of men's tongues be silenced. I am he who in one moment so enlightens the humble mind that it comprehends more of eternal truth than could be learned by 10 years in the schools. I teach without noise of words or clash of opinions, without ambition for honor or confusion of argument. I am he who teaches man to despise earthly possessions and to loathe present things, to ask after the eternal, to hunger for heaven, to fly honors and to bear with scandals, to place all hope in me, to desire nothing apart from me, and to love me ardently above all things. For a certain man, by loving me, intimately learned divine truth and spoke wonders. He profited more by leaving all things than by studying subtle questions. To some I speak of common things, to others of special matters. To some I appear with sweetness in signs and figures, and to others I appear in great light and reveal mysteries. The voice of books is but a single voice, yet it does not teach all men alike, because I within them am the teacher and the truth, the examiner of hearts, the understander of thoughts, the promoter of acts, distributing to each as I see fit. The 44th chapter. Do not be concerned about outward things. The voice of Christ. My child, there are many matters of which it is well for you to be ignorant, and to consider yourself as one who is dead upon the earth, and to whom the whole world is crucified. There are many things, too, which it is well to pass by with a deaf ear, thinking instead of what is more to your peace. It is more profitable to turn away from things which displease you, and to leave to every man his own opinion, than to take part in quarrelsome talk. If you stand well with God and look to his judgment, you will more easily bear being worsted. The disciple. To what have we come, Lord? Behold, we bewail a temporal loss. We labor and fret for a small gain, while loss of the soul is forgotten and scarcely ever returns to mind. That which is of little or no value claims our attention, whereas that which is of highest necessity is neglected, all because man gives himself wholly to outward things. and unless he withdraws himself quickly, he willingly lies immersed in externals. The 45th chapter. All men are not to be believed, for it is easy to err in speech. The disciple. Grant me help in my needs, O Lord, for the aid of man is useless. How often have I failed to find faithfulness in places where I thought I possessed it? And how many times have I found it where I least expected it? Vain, therefore, is hope in men, but the salvation of the just is in you, O God. Blessed be your name, O Lord my God, in everything that befalls us. We are weak and unstable, quickly deceived and changed. Who is the man that is able to guard himself with such caution and care as not sometimes to fall into deception or perplexity? He who confides in you, O Lord, and seeks you with a simple heart, does not fall so easily. And if some trouble should come upon him, no matter how entangled in it he may be, he will be more quickly delivered and comforted by you, for you will not forsake him who trusts in you to the very end. Rare is the friend who remains faithful through all his friend's distress, but you, Lord, and you alone are entirely faithful in all things. Other than you, there is none so faithful. Oh, how wise is that holy soul who said, "My mind is firmly settled and founded in Christ." Footnote 38. St. Agatha. If that were true of me, human fear would not so easily cause me anxiety, nor would the darts of words disturb. But who can foresee all things and provide against all evils? If things foreseen have often hurt, can those which are unlooked for do otherwise than wound us gravely? Why, indeed, have I not provided better for my wretched self? Why, too, have I so easily kept faith in others? We are but men, however, nothing more than weak men, although we are thought by many to be and are called angels. In whom shall I put my faith, Lord? In whom but you? You are the truth which does not deceive and cannot be deceived. Every man, on the other hand, is a liar, weak, unstable, and likely to err, especially in words, so that one ought not to be too quick to believe even that which seems on the face of it to sound true. How wise was your warning to beware of men, that a man's enemies are those of his own household, that we should not believe if anyone says, "Behold, he is here," or "Behold, he is there." I have been taught to my own cost, and I hope it has given me greater caution, not greater folly. Beware, they say, beware and keep to yourself what I tell you. Then, while I keep silent, believing that the matter is secret, he who asks me to be silent cannot remain silent himself, but immediately betrays both me and himself and goes his way. From tales of this kind and from such careless men protect me, O Lord, lest I fall into their hands and into their ways. Put in my mouth words that are true and steadfast, and keep far from me the crafty tongue, because what I am not willing to suffer I ought by all means to shun. Oh, how good and how peaceful it is to be silent about others, not to believe without discrimination all that is said, not easily to report it further, to reveal oneself to few, always to seek you as a discerner of hearts, and not to be blown away by every wind of words, but to wish that all things within and beyond us be done according to the pleasure of thy will. How conducive it is for the keeping of heavenly grace to fly the gaze of men, not to seek abroad things which seem to cause admiration, but to follow with utmost diligence those which give fervor and amendment of life. How many have been harmed by having their virtue known and praised too hastily, and how truly profitable it has been when grace remained hidden during this frail life, which is all temptation and warfare. The 46th chapter. Trust in God against slander. The voice of Christ. My child, stand firm and trust in me. For what are words but words? They fly through the air but hurt not a stone. If you are guilty, consider how you would gladly amend. If you are not conscious of any fault, think that you wish to bear this for the sake of God. It is little enough for you occasionally to endure words, since you are not yet strong enough to bear hard blows? And why do such small matters pierce you to the heart, unless because you are still carnal and pay more heed to men than you ought? You do not wish to be reproved for your faults, and you seek shelter in excuses, because you are afraid of being despised. But look into yourself more thoroughly, and you will learn that the world is still alive in you, in a vain desire to please men. For when you shrink from being abased and confounded for your failings, it is plain indeed that you are not truly humble or truly dead to the world, and that the world is not crucified in you. Listen to my word, and you will not value 10,000 words of men. Behold, if every malicious thing that could possibly be invented were uttered against you, what harm could it do if you ignored it all and gave it no more thought than you would a blade of grass? Could it so much as pluck one hair from your head? He who does not keep his heart within him, and who does not have God before his eyes, is easily moved by a word of disparagement. He who trusts in me, on the other hand, and who has no desire to stand by his own judgment, will be free from the fear of men. For I am the judge and discerner of all secrets. I know how all things happen. I know who causes injury and who suffers it. From me that word proceeded, and with my permission it happened, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. I shall judge the guilty and the innocent, but I have wished beforehand to try them both by secret judgment. The testimony of man is often deceiving, but my judgment is true. It will stand and not be overthrown. It is hidden from many and made known to but a few. Yet it is never mistaken and cannot be mistaken, even though it does not seem right in the eyes of the unwise. To me, therefore, you ought to come in every decision, not depending on your own judgment. For the just man will not be disturbed, no matter what may befall him from God. Even if an unjust charge be made against him, he will not be much troubled. Neither will he exult vainly, if through others he is justly acquitted. He considers that it is I who search the hearts and inmost thoughts of men, that I do not judge according to the face of things or human appearances. For what the judgment of men considers praiseworthy is often worthy of blame in my sight. The Disciple. O Lord God, just judge, strong and patient, you who know the weakness and depravity of men, be my strength and all my confidence, for my own conscience is not sufficient for me. You know what I do not know, and therefore I ought to humble myself whenever I am accused and bear it meekly. Forgive me then in your mercy for my failure in this regard, and give me once more the grace of greater endurance. Better to me is your abundant mercy in obtaining pardon than the justice which I imagine in defending the secrets of my conscience. And though I am not conscious to myself of any fault, yet I cannot thereby justify myself, because without your mercy no man living will be justified in your sight. The 47th chapter. Every trial must be borne for the sake of eternal life. The voice of Christ. My child, do not let the labors which you have taken up for my sake break you, and do not let troubles from whatever source cast you down. But in everything let my promise strengthen and console you. I am able to reward you beyond all means and measure. You will not labor here long, nor will you always be oppressed by sorrows. Wait a little while, and you will see a speedy end of evils. The hour will come when all labor and trouble shall be no more. All that passes away with time is trivial. What you do, do well. Work faithfully in my vineyard. I will be your reward. Write, read, sing, mourn, keep silence, pray, and bear hardships like a man. Eternal life is worth all these and greater battles. Peace will come on a day which is known to the Lord, and then there shall be no day or night as at present, but perpetual light, infinite brightness, lasting peace, and safe repose. Then you will not say, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Nor will you cry, "Woe is me, because my sojourn is prolonged." For then death will be banished, and there will be health unfailing. There will be no anxiety then, but blessed joy and sweet, noble companionship. If you could see the everlasting crowns of the saints in heaven, and the great glory wherein they now rejoice, they who were once considered contemptible in this world, and as it were, unworthy of life itself, you would certainly humble yourself at once to the very earth, and seek to be subject to all, rather than to command even one. Nor would you desire the pleasant days of this life, but rather be glad to suffer for God, considering it your greatest gain to be counted as nothing among men. Oh, if these things appeal to you and penetrated deeply into your heart, how could you dare to complain even once? Ought not all trials be borne for the sake of everlasting life? In truth, the loss or gain of God's kingdom is no small matter. Lift up your countenance to heaven, then. Behold me, and with me all my saints. They had great trials in this life, but now they rejoice. They are consoled. Now they are safe and at rest, and they shall abide with me for all eternity in the kingdom of my Father. The 48th chapter, The Day of Eternity and the Distresses of This Life. The Disciple. O most happy mansion of the city above, O most bright day of eternity, which night does not darken, but which the highest truth ever enlightens. O day, ever joyful and ever secure, which never changes its state to the opposite. O that this day shine forth, that all these temporal things come to an end. It envelops the saints all resplendent with heavenly brightness, but it appears far off, as through a glass, to us wanderers on the earth. The citizens of heaven know how joyful that day is, but the exiled sons of Eve mourn that this one is bitter and tedious. The days of this life are short and evil, full of grief and distress. Here man is defiled by many sins, ensnared in many passions, enslaved by many fears, and burdened with many cares. He is distracted by many curiosities and entangled in many vanities, surrounded by many errors and worn by many labors, oppressed by temptations, weakened by pleasures, and tortured by want. Oh, when will these evils end? When shall I be freed from the miserable slavery of vice? When, Lord, shall I think of you alone? When shall I fully rejoice in you? When shall I be without hindrance in true liberty, free from every grievance of mind and body? When will there be solid peace, undisturbed and secure, inward peace and outward peace, peace secured on every side? O good Jesus, when shall I stand to gaze upon you? When shall I contemplate the glory of your kingdom? When will you be all in all to me? O when shall I be with you in that kingdom of yours, which you have prepared for your beloved from all eternity? I am left poor and exiled in a hostile land, where every day sees wars and very great misfortunes. Console my banishment, assuage my sorrow. My whole desire is for you. Whatever solace this world offers is a burden to me. I desire to enjoy you intimately, but I cannot attain to it. I wish to cling fast to heavenly things, but temporal affairs and unmortified passions bear me down. I wish in mind to be above all things, but I am forced by the flesh to be unwillingly subject to them. Thus I fight with myself, unhappy that I am, and am become a burden to myself while my spirit seeks to rise upward and my flesh to sink downward. Oh, what inward suffering I undergo when I consider heavenly things. When I pray, a multitude of carnal thoughts rush upon me. Oh, my God, do not remove yourself far from me and depart not in anger from your servant. Dart forth your lightning and disperse them. Send forth your arrows and let the phantoms of the enemy be put to flight. Draw my senses toward you and make me forget all worldly things. Grant me the grace to cast away quickly all vicious imaginings and to scorn them. Aid me, O heavenly truth, that no vanity may move me. Come, heavenly sweetness, and let all impurity fly from before your face. Pardon me.